Well, we are in Epiphany season. Now, some people don't know exactly what Epiphany is. It comes after Christmas. And what really does it mean? Well, the word Epiphany is one of the words that is actually a scriptural word. It comes right out of the Bible. And it's the word that means manifestation. Or it's also translated appearing. We think of the appearing of the Lord when he's coming back again. That's also called an epiphany. But epiphany means revelation, manifestation, appearing, things like that. And there are various themes that down through the tradition of the church, they have preached messages about epiphany messages that are passages that are read during this time, such as Jesus in the temple, where Christ is circumcised in the temple and he is named Jesus and so on. There's the Magi coming and giving the gifts. There's Jesus' first miracle at Cana at the wedding. And then there's Christ's baptism. When he was baptized is an epiphany because it especially manifested something. It manifested his identification with us. And that's pretty important. And that's why I've named this title of our message, Why is Baptism Important? But I've actually changed the title during the week after I put the bullets in. I said, let's call it Why Our Baptism is Important. Why Our Baptism is Important. Because if Jesus manifested himself as being identified with us, then what our baptism does is it personally identifies us with Christ. And we're going to see how that works as we look at this passage today. I think it's a very good revelation, a very good epiphany about what our baptism is in relationship to Christ's baptism. And first of all, his baptism identified him with us. And we see this beginning in verse 13. It says that he came from Galilee to the Jordan. That was a transition in his life. That was a big transition because, you see, up to that time, he had a private task and then he had a public task. And in Galilee, his private task, which he was leaving, that private task, was for what we call the 30 silent years. Well, they're not all silent because we have a few things about Jesus, but most of the time were called the silent years. There's nothing said about what Jesus did. These were 30 years of day in, day out, living life like a human usually lives life. In other words, Jesus knows what it's like to live like we do and do all the things that we do. And you can just imagine all the stuff that we do growing up and just working and living and eating and sleeping and getting tired and trying to find some relaxation sometimes. Jesus did all that. That was his private task, was to identify with us totally. And he did. And then it was time. This time was also a time of growth. And it says in Luke, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. In other words, he grew mentally. He grew physically, he grew spiritually, and he grew socially, which is all what we all got to do. And that was that time in Galilee, when he was living in Galilee in his private task. Now, he was entering a public task. He was going to the Jordan to be baptized. Now, that's interesting, because, you know, he was joining a crowd of sinners who needed forgiveness. He said, wait a minute. He was joining a crowd of sinners who needed forgiveness. You mean a crowd like us? Yeah. Sinners who need forgiveness. That's us. He was joining himself to a crowd of sinners. And remember that Jesus is called the friend of sinners. I mean, we see this in a lot of hymns and so on about Jesus being our friend. He's the friend of sinners. And he showed himself in his life to be a friend of sinners. He was not a sinner himself. He was not a sinner himself, but it says in the word he became sin for sinners. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him, his Father, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now that's a total exchange he made. And, you know, I have this quote that I made, and I use it on my email sometimes, and it goes like this. The only way that God could get any closer to humanity than to take upon himself our human flesh was to take upon himself our human sins. He really became close to us. He took upon himself our human sins. So, him coming down to the Jordan, joining a big crowd of sinners, he was coming to the people he was going to serve. Jesus didn't need baptism. But that's why it says in this next verse, in verse 14, John tried to deter him. Wait a minute. Wait, no, not you. I need... You're coming to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you. This was John's reaction. And you know, it's really funny because John's reaction is not like Peter's reaction when Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet. John said, I need your washing. Peter said, no, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. You're the Lord. I should be washing your feet. No. John said, I know that I need your washing. The washing that you have, that's the one I need. And you coming to me to be baptized? Well, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented, and John baptized him. Christ's baptism was an epiphany. It was a manifestation. It was manifesting his identity with us and his priestly ministry for us. He was being initiated into his ministry for us at this point in time. He had left his private lifestyle of learning to be a human, just growing up, being a human, and he had entered into, after Jordan, a totally different lifestyle. And he had to say goodbye totally to carpentry. I don't think he ever did another task in carpentry. You know? And the last thing he had to do with nails, we know what that is, on the cross. And so we say he entered his ministry at this junction. It's just like a crossroads, okay? And it was proper. Why was this proper? Jesus said it was proper. It was proper because it identified him with those who needed his baptism. He did have a baptism to give. And we say that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes later. We won't talk about that. But we did need his baptism. John said, I need to be baptized by you. That's what John said. And it identified him with the message that John was already preaching. Repent and be baptized, all of you, is what Jesus also preached right after this. Him and his disciples preached the same message of repentance. And so he was identifying with John and that message of repentance. And he was also, this baptism was also identifying his future crucifixion. You say, well, how is that? How does that identify his future crucifixion? This is very important. Hold on to this verse when I'm going to read it. And think about it as we do the rest of this whole message. Jesus said this, I have come to bring fire on the earth. How I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Division. Jesus came to go to the cross, and that cross divided time, and it divided one people from another people, those who passed through the cross, and those who will not, and those who refuse the cross. It was a division point. And it's like, when I read this scripture, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The fire of the Holy Spirit makes the transition point. When we get the Holy Spirit's fire, I tell you what happens, bang, there's a different lifestyle. It's a whole new life when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And He says, I wish it was already kindled, but it's not. The Spirit hadn't come. I have a baptism to undergo. So he said, I have to undergo a baptism, and his baptism was death. His baptism was death. Now Jesus knew that his baptism, his death, would fulfill all righteousness. It did. It fulfilled all righteousness. It would bring a division on earth between the unbaptized and the baptized. Those who were believers and those who were unbelievers, they would be separated by this baptism, by this his death on the cross, and by what our baptism emphasizes. It would redefine the Jewish mikveh that John was using. This was a nude immersion in water, and there were all kinds of symbolism that the early church fathers got out of the nude baptism. Why must they become naked and go into the water and come back out again? Had all kinds of symbolism in it. And of course that has passed away now. But there's one thing that did remain, that the symbolism that did remain, is that it was a time of initiation. It was a time of consecrating the life. It was a time, the nude baptism had symbolized a bath, and you were taking a bath. You were washing yourself spiritually. That was one of the symbols they had. But the other one was not just washing, it was death. Death to the old self, and coming out of the water like a newborn baby with the new self. It was like, this is a whole transition point. And that's why baptism is so important. It's a crossroads. It is a juncture in life. It is a dividing point. It is a point where either you go with Christ or you don't. Are you following him in his baptism? And the early church fathers had something else. They had a lot of spiritual lessons in the original baptism. But they also had a very interesting way of looking at it. They said that Jesus, by his body, sanctified the waters of baptism for everyone else. It transformed the old Jewish mikveh baptism, the immersion baptism, it transformed it into a new baptism. By his body, his sinless body entering into that water of baptism, now the waters were sanctified for others to enter. That was an interesting way. The early church fathers, I love reading them because they have all these kind of ways they look at things. It's very interesting. But it also showed us something. It showed us what baptism signifies. It signifies total dedication. And it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, in other words, as soon as he followed his Father all the way, he immersed himself in the Father's will, it says he went up out of the water. And what did he do? He went up out of the water to a new work. Back to his carpenter shop? No. To a new work. He was now consecrated to his ministry as the Son of God to fulfill what the Son of God was supposed to do. And eventually that was the cross. And here is a thing that I say for us, what baptism means to us. It also, it should initiate our life into a life of service to God. That we just, that's how we see ourselves from now on. We are in service to God. It's an initiation point, just like Christ's baptism. And I, excuse me, in the hospital, I have to take care of mothers who lose their babies while they're still inside, and they have to give birth to those babies. And when they give birth to those babies, and sometimes I'm not around, but somebody says, hey, David, can you go talk to that family? And they want their baby to be baptized. And so, or else I'll do that. I'll say, would you like your baby to be baptized? And this is how I explain it. I said, these babies are just like Jesus in the sense that they never needed baptism. They don't need baptism. They haven't sinned. What sins have they done that they need to be cleansed from? That's not what, they don't need to repent of anything. They haven't done anything. So repent and be baptized doesn't apply to them. But it's the same way with Christ. I baptize these little stillborns to initiate them into their heavenly ministry, because they're going to grow up in heaven now. And as they grow up in heaven, they're going to minister. They're going to serve God. And by the time we get there and see these kids all grown up in heaven, they will have done many marvelous things in the kingdom of God that we don't even know about right now. So when I baptize those little ones, I'm sending them on their journey with a baptism, an initiation into their heavenly ministry. That's what I've done for years. And I've never heard anybody saying anything about that, but I do it because I think that's what it's talking about right here. All baptism really does, it initiates us into what Christ wants us to do, following Him. So Christ's baptism has identified Him with us, and ultimately, that identification took Him to the cross. Him identifying with us took Him to the cross. And for us, our baptism is our decision to identify with Him, and it also brings us to His cross. How so? Because baptism is like a crossroads. It has also been symbolized as going and dying to yourself, being buried in the water, and rising up to a new life in His resurrection. So the symbolism is very, very appropriate, and it's very deep. So his baptism is like a division point, but in His life, and it makes a division point in our lives. That's why it's so important to be baptized, because you are telling it out loud to everybody. You're saying it publicly, like Christ. I am now identified with Jesus totally. I am now a baptized believer, following my Lord who was baptized. And we are, in a sense, dying to our old life and being born to a new life. Even though that's happened in our hearts, we're doing it in a public way. Now, his baptism also identified him with God. And this is very interesting. Heaven was opened, it says here. Christ's baptism was an epiphany of the Trinity. It was a manifestation of the Trinity. Everybody showed up there. The Holy Spirit showed up like a dove. The Father's voice spoke from heaven. And of course, you have the Son right there. So you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the baptism. So Christ's baptism was an epiphany of the Trinity. Three earthly kings had come to His birth. Now the three heavenly kings were at His baptism. Very important point. Very important point to recognize. Christ's baptism manifested a new beginning in God's plan. And it sort of paralleled Genesis. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we have the Father's voice from heaven at the manifestation of the baptism. We have the Father's voice from heaven. You have in the beginning God said, His voice creating everything. You know, you have the Spirit of God descending like a dove, landing on Christ in the midst of a group of sinners. And then in the beginning in Genesis, you have God's Spirit hovering over a formless, empty creation that needs to be transformed. That's very similar to what we need when the Holy Spirit descends on us. We need to be transformed, you know. And then you have God's Son. God's Son was the Word of God made flesh. He was the second Adam of a new race of humans, the kingdom of God, the humans in the kingdom of God. And that's so parallels to the beginning Adam that fell. Now you have the second Adam that takes care of the fall. It's a beautiful illustration that God parallels Genesis in the beginning with right here at the baptism. It's amazing. And then Christ's baptism transformed this Jewish mikveh into a sacrament, into a Christian sacrament. Now, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is something that is physical. It is something that is observable. We can look at it. We can go through the process of it. And it is a means of grace. In other words, it imparts a divine blessing on the person who participates in it, on the recipient of this means of grace. So a sacrament actually blesses the person. And many people can testify that that they had baptism as an infant and they didn't know about it, but God directed their lives, you know, and it's like that was a blessing that God put on them in some way. You say, well, does baptism do that all the time? I think we have to have faith with it. Faith maybe in the person that gets a person baptized as an infant, but also when we get baptized, it's not just going through the motions. We need to look at our baptism as a blessing. It is a thing that confers grace upon us. And Christ's baptism transformed this Jewish idea of a ritual into a Christian sacrament that's practiced today. Now, the Trinity's presence there, in a sense, baptized baptism. If you think about that. The very fact that the Trinity showed up at this baptism was, in a sense, initiating or baptizing baptism for what it became today for us. So that now it has significantly the same meaning as it had for Christ. And God was introducing His Son when at this baptism. Later, He would instruct us to obey Him. Here He introduced Him. Here the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit shows up, introduces the Son to the world. A manifestation of Christ, Epiphany. And then later on, at the Transfiguration, the Holy Trinity shows up again. And while He was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son." Similar language. "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Listen to Him because He is Lord. And as Lord, He has called us to be baptized like Him. Follow Him in baptism. "Follow Me," He said, is what Jesus always called. "Follow Me." He commands a Trinitarian invocation at baptism. When He was giving His disciples the call to baptize, He told them to say, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus was telling them, this Trinitarian formula is the same thing. It reminds you that the Trinity showed up in His baptism, and the Trinity is at your baptism. You're invoking the Trinity at your baptism. That's why it's important to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the water itself, remember, Christ sanctified the water for baptism, the early church fathers said. You think about water, and I know that some people they steer away from this, but remember, God uses means of grace. He uses things that are means of grace. Like, for instance, Moses' staff. It was just a staff, but He used it as a means of grace to part the Red Sea or to hit a rock, and the water came out of the rock. And you say, "Well, that was in the staff." God was using the staff as a means of grace. He also uses water. And it's very interesting. I have studied a lot Leanne Payne. She has a ministry of healing in sexual dysfunction and healing things like that. And gender confusion, all kinds of things. And she has a powerful ministry. And now that she's older and her health can't let her do this, she has a great team of people who continue to minister in the same way. One of the things she uses is holy water. She prays over the water, and she said, "Let me tell you something. If there's a demonic presence, they hate holy water. They hate it. You get holy water out, they start running." So she uses holy water. But she said, "Let this holy water," she always uses this wherever she uses, she said, "Let this holy water put you in mind of your baptism. Let you remember your baptism by this holy water that we put upon you. Let it you recall what your baptism was." What was our baptism? Our baptism was the initiation point. We were consecrated into God's kingdom and into His kingdom work. Christ's baptism manifests Christ's will for us. He said, "Follow Me." The Spirit of God descended upon Him. And that reminds us that to be baptized is to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit to descend upon us. That was Jesus' initiation point into ministry. The Holy Spirit came upon Him in a new way to send Him into ministry. And He said that He functioned that way. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord was present, that's when He healed. When the Spirit of the Lord was not present, maybe He just taught. I don't know. But He always was submitted to the Father through the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We are called to the same thing, to follow Jesus. The Father's Word. The Father's Word to Christ. is meant to be his word to us. And what was that word? My son whom I love. Well, is God speaking that about me and you? His son or daughter that he loves? Augustine said this, the only son of God, or the single son of God, made son of man, makes many sons of men sons of God. The only son of God who was made man makes many sons of men into children of God. And yes, God does want to say the same thing to us. This is Dawn that I love. You know, this is Anne that I love. This is Ellie that I love. All of us, he wants to say, this is the ones I love. I'm pouring out my love upon them. We know he does because of Christ. And with him I am well pleased. Is God pleased with our lives? He was with Christ's life. Now, in baptism, this is very interesting, and hold on to this. In baptism, we identify with Christ, but we also identify with the grace in Christ that can transform us so that God will be pleased with us. You see? So God does want to make this pronouncement over every one of us and say, with whom I am well pleased. This is whoever we are. This is David, and whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, because he has accessed the grace in Christ to be transformed, to live in a pleasing way to me. That's how all of us should live our lives. And Christ's manifestation of that was pleasing to his Father in every way that he lived. That's how he wants us to manifest our baptism. God wants to pronounce this over our baptism in faith, that we will follow that way. And then our baptism is the first step of obedience in that direction. It's the first step that we're going to take that brings us to this internal epiphany, where we realize the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives, and his grace upon our lives. Listen to this in John chapter 14. He who has my commandments, this is Christ speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's like we will have the manifest presence of God, the manifestation of Christ's presence with us. Jesus offered himself to the Father and to sinners when he was baptized. And he wants us to have the same kind of baptized lifestyle in service to God and in service to others. So parallel. It's so parallel. Our lives, like our baptisms, are to be places of public demonstration or public manifestation that God is King. God is King, and my life should show it. And I'm saying so with a statement in baptism. Our conversion declares that Jesus is the Savior, but our baptism declares that Jesus is my Lord, whom I obey. You know, that's a different statement. Baptism personally identifies us with Christ, but in our baptism, as with Christ, God commits himself to manifest his grace in us. It's not just about us committing ourselves to God. When we are baptized, God commits to us to manifest his grace in our lives in a pleasing way to him. We become, in a sense, an epiphany. We become an epiphany, a manifestation of the very presence of the King of Kings, of the God of Heaven, of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in this world. So, I preach this message because it is an epiphany message, but also because there may be some among you who are not baptized, and you need to be. And we're not going to do any nude baptisms. And some people do not like immersion, but if you do get sprinkled or poured, you must remember that it is a token of the full immersion that Jesus went under when he was baptized by John in that old way, in the Jewish mikveh. They required the whole naked body underwater. Not even a pin in the hair could be there. Everything had to go in this worldly life to have a new, completely clean life. And so, if you get baptized with sprinkling or pouring or immersion, it doesn't matter, as long as you are looking to that as being a token of the real baptism that Christ experienced. And most church fathers will agree with that. So I say this, are you lingering in Galilee? Do you need to go to Jordan? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this epiphany passage. And Lord, you bring many, many epiphanies in our lives, many manifestations of your glory, of your grace. This is one of them that's very special. And I pray, Father God, that this message doesn't cover everything about baptism, but it does introduce us to the gravity, the seriousness, the power, the importance of this ritual, this sacrament that you have dedicated for us to be used to follow you in this kingdom lifestyle, in this discipleship. Lord, if there are any who need baptized, Lord, I just pray that they will seek it and that we can have that baptismal ceremony. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.